Believe him. They're coming to keep the body from being so offensive as it decomposed. Preacher, you say, well, I've preached to people and it doesn't seem like I'm getting anywhere. The Son of God with miracles for 3.5 years told people he would die and rise again, and his closest followers didn't believe him. It's an amazing thing. And certain others with them, and they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And I said, our church, I'll say it here, that stone wasn't rolled away to let Jesus out, it was rolled away to let the skeptics in. To think that he came all the way from the lower parts of the earth to the grave and then couldn't get past that one last rock. That's I almost made it. Somebody let me out! I don't believe that. They entered in and found out the body of the Lord Jesus. They're looking for his body. They don't believe he's risen. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout. Why would you be perplexed? How many times do you think Jesus preached the central purpose of his coming? To die on the cross and rise. Not like he mentioned it once or twice. Every town, every village, every crowd, every time for 3.5 years, he said, the third day I'm going to rise from the dead, and they can't figure out where the body is. Pretty sad. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, that's what unbelief will do. Provoke fear, cause you to stoop. They said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, the third day rise again. And again, more sadness to my heart. And they remembered his words. Doesn't say they believed them. Just said they remember. Oh yeah, we remember he said that. Now where is he? Yeah, we remember. That is what he said, but what's going on here? And they returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11. Unto the 11 and all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they... Isn't it amazing? They believed them not. That's John. That's Peter. That's Thaddeus. You understand? This isn't a bunch of Pharisees and scribes. This is the 11 apostles who hear the testimony of those who were told by angels that Christ was risen from the dead like he said he would rise. And they think it's a fairy tale. Nothing to it. That's pretty sad. You know something? If you're here tonight and not having watched Christ die, you believe he died. And not having walked in the empty tomb, you believe he's risen from the dead. You ought to thank God for the Holy Ghost. You ought to thank God for light. You ought to thank God that this thing is a matter of faith, not sight. The people who saw it didn't believe it. And here's a room full of people who didn't see it who do believe it. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Then there arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which has come to pass. So he goes in, sure enough, tomb's empty. Sure enough, there's the grave clothes. And he said, I wonder what happened here. That's pretty sad, isn't it? All right, so look at verse 13. Now I'm ready to get close to the message here. So I want you to understand what day. When you read verse 13, behold, two of them went that same day. This is not the day the Ark of the Covenant was taken. This is not the day that the law was given on Mount Sinai. This is not the day that John the Baptist was baptized. This is the greatest day in the history of the world. Up to this point, there's never been a better day since Adam sinned than this day. This is the very day that Christ rose from the dead. One year it was March, one year it was April, one year it was late March. Whatever day it was, there's never been a day like it. Death has been defeated. Praise the Lord. Behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which is from Jerusalem, about 80 furlongs. And as they talked together of all these things which had happened, it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So, listen. On the very day of Christ's resurrection, Jesus Christ himself chooses to walk down the road with these two men. Think about that. A preacher mentioned a while back, he said, where two or three gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. We take that spiritually, because we know Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. We take that meaning, Holy Spirit or his presence or his blessing, whatever. He's there. There's Brother Floor, here I am. And we say, well, the Lord's with us. But where? But he was there. These two men are walking with the resurrected Christ on the morning that he spoiled principalities and powers. They're walking together with Jesus Christ. Their eyes were holding, they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these? Ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad. Now, listen, brother, sister. I'm trying to, it's a short message, but take a while to get to it. The greatest day of history of the world, the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ with the keys of death and hell is walking personally with these two men, and they're sad. Which means it doesn't matter how good your life is, you can be sad. It doesn't matter how great the blessings in your life are, you can be sad if you miss what God is doing. And they missed it. And how many times do we sit in a service like this? Great music, so-so preaching. Love you, Brother Joe. Great music, great preaching, great fellowship. And somebody sits right through it so down, so low, so unhappy that Christ himself can't bless our hearts. Oh, we've all done it. We've all done it. Maybe somebody doing it here tonight. But it couldn't get any better than this day. And they're not walking with Christ by faith. They're walking with Christ. He's really actually there. You know what's curious? That Bible says, look at verse 16 again. Their eyes were holding, they should not know him. You know what the Bible says? The gospel, Brother Joe mentioned it, is that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Is that right? And was buried on the third day, rose again according to the Scriptures. This is that third day. How come they can't see him standing right there? Because if you don't believe the gospel, the God of this world blinds your minds. Because they don't believe his resurrection on the day of his resurrection, they can't see him looking him right in the face. You say, well, if I could have just been there and see, it wouldn't help you if you didn't believe it. You could stand right there and see the whole thing and not know what you're looking at. Amen. I thank God it's faith, not sight. So anyway, they're walking down this road with Jesus, resurrection morning, and they're sad. One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Well, yeah, kind of. There had never been a greater stranger walk the streets of Jerusalem than somebody that came from another world and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days. And he said unto them, this is funny, what things? What? No, wait. So you got a picture. Jesus Christ is thinking, I just paid for the sins of the whole world. I just took death, the weapon of death, out of Satan's hand. I just rose from the dead with all power in heaven and earth given to me. And you guys are sad. There must be something happened here I don't know about. You must have some reason to be sad that is really off the charts if you can be down in the dumps today. Now listen, how many times have I sat in the 40 plus years that I've been saved? How many times have you sat in all the years since you've been saved? And the songs are about the resurrection of Christ. And the preaching is about the glory and wonder of our salvation. And the close of the message is about Christ coming to take us to be with himself. And in your heart, you're thinking, but Lord, you just don't understand what's going on in my life. I have something to be sad about. They missed the greatest day in the history of the world because they were focused on some news that to them outweighed the best news in world history. The resurrection of Christ. We're getting to it. Stay with me. The Bible says in verse 19, he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. He's really great. You should have heard him. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted. Well, something happened that caused them to stop trusting. We trusted and then something happened and now we don't trust anymore. If you're here tonight and you're sad, you trusted. If you're here tonight and you're unhappy, you trusted. Stay with me. Please stay with me. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this is the third day since these things were done. Now let me help you right now, grandfather, grandmother. Let me help you right now, widow, widower. Let me help you right now, broken-hearted parent. Let me help you right now, disappointed pastor. Jesus Christ has never failed to do one thing that he promised, but he has failed to do many things we thought he would do that he never said he would do. For 3.5 years, he said he would die on a cross and rise from the dead. And every time he said it, they disregarded it because it wasn't what they wanted him to do. And we all want perfect marriages and perfect children, perfect churches, and everybody comes and nobody leaves. And perfect health and perfect finances. And when we don't get them, we're sad and we're disappointed because God didn't do what he should have done. No, he did exactly what he should have done. He just didn't do what we thought he should have done. He did exactly what he said he would do. He just didn't do what we wanted him to do. And the way to get over depression and disappointment and the blues is to get your will in line with God's will instead of demanding God get his will in line with your will. Now, I know I'm talking to tonight. I'm talking to Bible-believing Christians, praise the Lord, in a very conservative church, praise the Lord, and we don't have a problem with one punctuation mark in the good old King James Bible. Do you know what's killing our churches? Jesus won't fix the government. And that's their problem. They don't care that he died for their sins. They don't care that he rose from the dead. He just didn't fix the government. And we thought he was going to fix the government. If he's not going to fix the government, we don't trust him anymore. That's a fact. I'll add to Brother Joe's list of things you need to break away from. Fox News. talk radio. Jesus didn't come to fix the government, and you're going to get your heart broke if you put your trust in Jesus to fix your government. Listen, when Jesus fixes the government, the blood will flow as high as the reins on a horse's bridles. That's how he's going to fix it. It won't be an election. It'll be the elect taking over. Amen. Now look what they said. We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. He should have fixed Rome. He should have fixed those Pharisees. He should have fixed those scribes. And he didn't. That's why we're sad. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Hello? You just gave yourself a big hint. Third day? Eggs and rabbits everywhere? Come on. Just can't leave it alone, can he? He just can't leave it alone. And yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were at the sepulcher when they found out his body. And came saying they'd also seen a vision of angels which said he was alive. Now, I'm going to ask you again, why are they astonished? How could it be astonishing that the one who gave sight to the blind and cleansed the lepers and healed the sick and fed the multitudes and raised the dead and said, watch me die, and in 3 days I am going to rise from the dead, and the women come back from the sepulcher and say, the angel said he's risen from the dead, and the sepulcher's empty. Why are you astonished? Because you didn't believe him. And you didn't believe him when he said he was going to die and rise again, because that wasn't your agenda. That wasn't what you wanted him to do. You wanted him to make your life better. You didn't want him to take away your sins. Okay, the tomb's empty, but there's still Rome in charge of our town. The tomb's empty, but there's still these hypocrites in charge of our synagogue. So what good did it do? That's why they're sad. You want to be sad? Expect God to do things he didn't say he would do. And miss out on the things he said he would do because you're looking for him to do something else. Mm-hmm. But here's the blessing. Jesus is compassionate, kind, gentle, understanding. I mean, watch. It's such a blessing. Then he said unto them, oh, fools! He didn't put his arm around them and say, let's just love. He said, you're a couple of fools. A fool said in his heart, there is no God. They're walking side by side with Jesus, but thinking like atheists. Have we not all had spells of temporary atheism? When we just push God out of our lives because we're sad or bitter or angry because he didn't do what we thought he would do? Can I be honest with you? I've been preaching 43 years. I thought, I'm serious. I thought if I serve God with all my heart, he would make my children turn out right. He would make our church the greatest church in the history of the world. He would make my finances what I would like them to be. He would keep me in perfect health, whether I neglected my health or not. I thought God would do all that for me. You know how many times he said he would do any of that for me? None. And you know when I've had controversy with God? When he hasn't done my will. And you know when I got over it? When I repented. I had a preacher, dear friend, he used to be. And he was dealing with depression, and he asked me over breakfast one morning. He said, "Have you ever been depressed?" I said, "I have." He said, "You ever get real deep in depression?" I said, "I have." He said, "Well, what'd you do about it?" I said, "I repented." Now, I wasn't trying to be offensive. But every time I got down because I was focused on me and what God wasn't doing for me, instead of everything God had done for me and was doing for me. And that's what happened to these guys right here, and it's what happens to you. So here's what happens. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? They said, "Why haven't you restored Israel?" And he said, "Shouldn't I have suffered on the cross for your sins? Shouldn't Christ have done something about Caesar's control?" And he said, "Shouldn't he have risen from the dead so you could have eternal life?" What's he doing? He's trying to get their attention on God's greater victory than what would have been a much lesser victory, at least as touching their lives. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So here's the way out of this thing. Jesus Christ said, "Let me take you back into the Bible. Let me take you back into the scriptures and not get your eyes on the Mosaic law and not get your eyes on the Davidic kingdom and not get your eyes on the Abrahamic covenant regarding the land and not get your eyes on swords and conquests and battles. Let me get your eyes on me, the things concerning me." Amen. Now, when he had that conversation with them, here, and what a Bible study that must have been. Here's what Jesus is saying. And he's saying it to, not to all of you tonight, to some of you tonight, to some of you this has to do with last week, to some of you it has to do with next week. But here's what he said. The greatest thing God could ever have done is die to pay for your sins. And if that doesn't make you happy, nothing will. The greatest thing Christ could have ever done for you is rise from the dead for your justification. And if that doesn't bring joy to your heart, nothing will. And I'm telling you, it sounds so simple, and it is. It sounds so basic, and it is. We've heard it 1,000 times like they had. But the greatest thing God could ever do for you, he has done for you. What about Joe Biden? I paid for your sins. What about the Congress? I paid for your sins. What about the price of gas? I paid for your sins. What about what the government is doing? I paid for your sins. When we miss daily the glory of the resurrected Christ walking with us and our sins forgiven and our souls saved, how can you be happy if you miss that? And if you can keep your heart and mind right there. When these guys got it, when they believed it, when they took it to heart, not one time in the book of Acts did they devote half a verse to preaching against the government. Not one time did they devote half a verse on preaching prosperity or health. They went everywhere preaching Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again because it became so great that everything else going on around them, be it Corinthian corruption, be it Athenian philosophy, be it Thessalonican idolatry, it didn't matter. Christ died for our sins and was buried and rose again. And now I am happy all the day. God help us. He's alive. He's walking with us. He's in our midst. And we shuffle along with sad feet and stooped shoulders because he didn't do what we think he should have done. Well, he didn't consult us. But he knew what we needed. And he knew what was best. The Bible says in verse number 28, they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. He made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us. Abide with us. They went from saying, why didn't you straighten out Rome, to saying, just stay a little longer. We'd rather have your presence. We didn't understand. Now we understand. We missed it, but now we see it. Abide with us. First, toward evening, the day was far spent, he went in to tarry with them. It came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Think about something. You're sitting at a table. You're about to get it. It's starting to dawn on you, but could it really be? I don't know. And the man across the table from you breaks bread, holds it out to you, and as you take that bread out of his hands, you can see right through them. Yeah. Because they're wounded for our transgressions. What are these wounds in thy hands? And he's gone. And he's gone. And the Bible says, verse 32, they said one to another, not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, while he opened unto us the scriptures, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together. Then they're with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed. Hath appeared unto Simon. Now, I should have measured out the furlongs and the miles and all that. Here's all I know. They're walking down the Emmaus Road, so sad, so sad. I can't believe Biden got elected. I can't believe it. Guys, doesn't even know where he is. So crazy. Can't believe it. My father voted for him. He's been dead 5 years. And then they come to the reality that Christ is risen from the dead. And within 60 minutes, they're all the way back to Jerusalem. Nothing's changed politically. Nothing's changed economically. Nothing's changed socially. Nothing's changed regarding their health. Nothing's changed regarding their finances. But that drag that was in their step has turned into a skip and a joy because Christ is risen from the dead. He didn't change the world for them. He changed them. Amen. Amen. He doesn't want to change your world. He wants to change you. And he can and he will. We got to get back to this book and beholding the resurrection. Listen, I've said this twice. I'm going to say it one more time. He's right there with them. And they're sad. Now he's gone. And they're thrilled. They can see him with their eyes. And they're down in the dumps. Now he's vanished, and they're excited. We walk by faith and not by sight, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm telling you, you don't have to have the visible, physical presence of Jesus Christ before your eyes. You have to have faith in what Christ has done for you in your heart. It makes all the difference in the world. I could give you a long list of things to be sad about in my life, and then you could give me a long list of things to be sad about in your life, and then we could add church life to it, and then our social life to it, and our national life to it, and we could all go out of here just feeling horrible and saying, why doesn't God fix it? And then Jesus would say, do you know what I did for you? I paid for every one of your sins. And I rose from the dead so you could have eternal life. And that will make you happy, and nothing else will. You could be sad walking with the resurrected Christ on the greatest day in the world's history. Or you could be thrilled and happy and him not even be around. We just got to get our hearts and our minds to agree that what God did for us at Calvary and what God did for us when he rose from the dead is better than anything else he could ever do for us, and rejoice in it. I know it's simple, but the simplicity that's in Christ is what Satan wants to rob, wants to steal from us. And I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat or a right wing or a left wing. If you get your focus off Jesus Christ, there is plenty to be down in the dumps about. You want to share sad stories about church? Yeah, Brother Joe and I were supposed to preach a meeting in June, and one of the topic the pastor asked me to preach on was the departure of the church. And I called him. I said, man, nobody knows more about people departing from church than I do. That wasn't what he wanted. Do you understand? I've had sadness in my family, haven't you? I've had disappointments in my life, haven't you? You know what Jesus said? Come back here. Come back. Let me show you something. Died for your sins. Died for your sins. Died for your sins. You're not going to hell. You're not going to hell. You got eternal life. You're going to get a glorified body. Cheer up! The cure for whatever's got you down is to stop asking God to get his will in line with your will and to get your will in line with God's will. It won't change everything. It'll change you. Amen. Amen.